You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Wednesday morning to you. Mike McMarin for Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning. Bit of breaking news. U.S. troops were among those killed Wednesday in an attack in northern Syria. The U.S. military has confirmed to CBS News the U.S.-led coalition in Syria, Operation Inherent Resolve, confirmed that in a tweet. U.S. service members were killed during an explosion while conducting a routine patrol in Syria. A military official confirmed separately to CBS News, senior defense correspondent David Martin, reports by Kurdish media outlets that at least two Americans were among the dead in the city of Manbij, not far from the Turkish border, after an explosion hit a coalition convoy. The White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders told CBS News on Wednesday that President Trump had been fully briefed and will continue to monitor the ongoing situation in Syria. Anybody who listens to the program knows that Manbij is the center of controversy in northern Syria. It is around that city is the dance that has been done between the United States, Turkey, and Kurds. So that news is breaking as we speak. Also, this is from France 24. A blast struck near a U.S.-led coalition patrol on Syria's northern city of Manbij on Wednesday, with 14 people being killed, including two Americans. An Islamic State-affiliated website said an attacker with an explosive vest had struck a foreign military patrol in a suicide attack. I find that hard to believe. Simply because if you have if you've ever seen those things and the aftermath of those things, they're not normally big enough. They've got to be something that fits under somebody's clothes, So they're not normally big enough to kill that number of people. So just my experience tells me that a suicide attacker with an explosive vest, I mean, when you consider it, you'd have to have that many people packed around you, and the vest would have to be huge, not only in terms of explosives, but also in terms of metal, because the blast itself would not kill that many people. So, two witnesses described Wednesday's blast to Reuters. The U.S.-backed Kurdish-led Manbij Military Council militia that controls the council said there was preliminary information that people had been injured on Wednesday's attack. One of the witnesses said there was a very heavy presence of military aircraft over Manbij following the blast. You think? So, some type of explosion has killed Americans. So, we'll follow that as it breaks this morning. So, not great news coming out of Syria. Let's see. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. Yesterday I talked to Jeff Zazulowitz. He's the guy who's written a series of articles in Navy Times, and a total of four, based on an investigation that that a Navy Rear Admiral did, and I would encourage you to read them. And they are, honestly, they're astounding to read. And they one's kind of the overarching event, and then they got this. They don't say how they got the investigation. The investigation has never been released to the public. Somehow it was leaked to Navy Times. So the article that hit, what was this, Tuesday? So Monday night? The article's headline was, "Worse Than You Thought, Inside the Secret Fitzgerald Probe the Navy Doesn't Want You to Read." And then there's three other articles. "A Warship Doomed by Confusion, Indecision, and Ultimately Panic on the Bridge." Number three, "The Ghost in the Fitz's Machine, Why a Doomed Warship Crew Never Saw the Vessel that Hit It." And then the fourth article, "A Watery Hell, How a Green Crew Fought the Fitz to Save Her." So those four articles, and the picture that it paints, I mean, I will tell you, will make you puke. Will make you puke. And so so we'll talk about it. I'll read you some of the excerpts of each article. And honestly, Navy's got a problem. Navy's got a problem. And, you know, to me, what's really horrible in this thing is, right, the Navy are officers and senior enlisted people that go to work every day and are supposed to solve problems and do the right thing. And it looks like not only do they not solve problems and not do they not do the right thing, but it's like they're ambivalent to it. It's like they don't care. And they don't have a sense of when these things hit critical mass. And so we'll take a look at those articles, and we're also going to talk to you today. We're going to talk to a spouse from Camp Lejeune who was at the post-traumatic winning thing. So you'll meet her in the next hour. Her name's Katie. And she wrote an email, and she talked about sitting through that was a life-changing event. And so we'll meet her. We'll find out what she expected it to be, what she thought of it, and how does she think the impact will affect people? So, which is really the important piece. So you'll get to meet Katie here in about 49 minutes. So we'll do that. And then it's Wednesday, so Mike has the day off. And then we'll take whatever time we have left, and we'll find something to do. So, that's the order of the day. So, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Happy Wednesday to everybody out there. Happy Hump Day. This is dedicated to families that have yet to be notified that that their soldier, more than likely, has been killed. So say a prayer for them. Pray that God holds them in his hand and holds his hand close to his heart today.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident
Derek, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather in Marineland here in a second. And this is the most, it sounds like the most legitimate report I've seen. If you want to track news on any event, you have to have a bit of a filter, but it really happens fast on Twitter. Put in hashtag Manbij and you'll see everything that people have tweeted out. It seems to me the most credible report. Reports of an explosion in Manbij, with at least 2 U.S. soldiers killed and others injured. At least 19 were injured, not killed, according to some estimates. And they're attributing the explosion to Turkish-backed jihadists. U.S. helicopters evacuating wounded soldiers. So we'll continue to watch that. Not only do you, then what you do is you click on latest. Good God, there's actually videotape of the explosion. Wow. Looks like a market. Cars on both sides of the streets, people on the sidewalk. I don't know if you subscribe to the Allman Radio Twitter feed. People walking, it looks like in front of a market of some sort. And I don't see any uniformed military, and all of a sudden there is just this incredible explosion in front of it. So, again, I don't know. But, anyway, what you'll see when you do that is all the unconfirmed reports that are coming out of it. Here's one. so-and-so confirms American troops killed in a suicide outside an attack in Manbij. Some reports say 4 U.S. soldiers were dead. The last report said 2 were dead, 2 were wounded in medevac. So, anyway. But you can track what is, you know, what is breaking, and that's how, that's what I have found to be, that's what I've found to, if you want to see breaking news, you can watch it break on Twitter. Anyway, the weather. Currently cloudy and 31 degrees in Quantico, Virginia. My computer's being slow. Stand by. It is sunny and 44 at Camp Lejeune, where it got cold last week. Cloudy and 52 in Granbury, Texas. It is cloudy and 47 and 47 and 29 Palms. It's been raining here in Southern California now for a couple days since I got home on Sunday, on Saturday. Cloudy and 54 at Camp Pendleton. In Okinawa, it's dark, raining, and 59 degrees. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is clear, dark, and 57. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 57. In the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is raining at 59 degrees right now. Looking for a high of 63 today with rain in the forecast. Tomorrow, 62 with rain in the forecast. And on Friday, 64 and partly sunny skies. So, wow, the sun's going to make an appearance. How about that? All right, we'll take a break when we come back. We'll check news headlines. We'll continue to monitor events out of Syria as we get going here on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. Of this heartbreak, I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah.
Bottom line, it's okay to hurt. It's one of the messages of post-traumatic win. The more reports come in on Twitter. I'll just give you a couple of updates. Death toll is now 16. If the death toll is 16, it wasn't. Not a suicide bomber. Suicide bombers don't kill that many people. It looks like it happened inside a restaurant. And that video keeps popping up in other news reports. Also, reports of 43 people being injured, including two other American soldiers. So, I mean, all right, what do we know about initial reports? take them with a grain of salt. So, we will. Anyway, we'll take a look at the news. Some news headlines, Marine Corps stuff. A Harrier deployed to the Med, sucked in a refueling strap. What is a refueling strap? During routine maintenance. One of the interesting things when you talk to pilots is, and this is interesting because I believe the F-35 is a single engine aircraft as well. Is the problem with single engine aircraft is that you know something happens to the engine and you're a metal dart. The beauty of the F-18, the F-16, is that they have their dual engine. So if one of them goes, you can still fly, and it's especially important when you're flying over the water. So anyway, the Harrier is a single engine aircraft. Evidently, they were doing maintenance, and the reason it's big news is because it's a Class A mishap. Another one for the Marine Corps, and Class A mishaps are a big thing. They cause more than $2 million damage, which means they probably blew out the engine. So, ingesting a fuel strap, I've never heard of that before. Big changes to the UCMJ on January 1st. According to the story, the most comprehensive change to the UCMJ since World War II, when it was enacted. So there's things that used to be covered in the general article have now moved to other articles. General articles 134, conduct and becoming, and so I think they list all the different offenses that have been modified. They list new articles. Article 93 alpha, prohibited activities with a military recruit or trainee by a person in a position of special trust. So that involves drill instructors, blah, 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 blah. It's now a specific crime. Article 120 alpha, fraudulent use of credit cards, debit cards, and other access devices. Access devices can mean account numbers, passcodes, telecommunication equipment that can be exploited to obtain money, goods, or services. Article 123, offenses concerning government computers. Article 132, retaliation, is now illegal to misuse authority in an attempt to retaliate against a person for making a complaint or reporting a crime. And again, it's not like these things weren't crimes. Now they're just being specifically identified in their own article. So there's a lawyer that does sexual assault cases. And one of the things that you'll hear about when you talk to people that do sexual assault case is that the military stuff is that the military has a much lower threshold for charging somebody. They say that some of the charges that you see in the military are the result of commanding officers doing it, and which is when they say we want a separate jurisdiction only for sexual crimes. What the attorneys say is, okay, just know this: the number of indictments that you see is going to go down, and not marginally, but substantially, because professional jurists are going to have a threshold that's much higher than commanding officers do. Anyway, sexual assault section of Article 120 is particularly worrying for one lawyer. Quote, my argument is, as a defense attorney, that Article 120 is extensive and expansive and borders on being unconstitutional. This is because the latest version shifts some of the burden of proof onto the defense, rather than the traditional civilian practice of placing the burden solely on the prosecution. According to the UCMJ, if the accused claims he was too incapacitated to be aware he was sexually assaulting someone, the defense has to prove that, rather than the prosecution having to prove that he was competent at the time. In a case of, quote, mistaken age, the defense would have to prove that he or she could not have known the age of the victim. Timmons argues that shifting the burden is an overreaction to pressure from Congress to stamp out sexual assault. Well, let me just tell you, there's no doubt about that. Timmons, obviously a firm grasp of the obvious there. So that's in the news today, UCMJ changes. And they are extensive. Listen to this. This is file this under piece of shit. And I apologize for all you respectable pieces of shit out there for including this guy in your ranks, but you get what you get. Marine vet who asked for donations to send Marine families to Disney resorts pocketed the money, according to federal law enforcement authorities. A former Marine veteran is alleged to have built people into donating money to a charity that was supposedly to send Marines and their families to Disney resorts and help cover the cost of families attending Marine boot camp graduations. A federal indictment filed in U.S. District Court in South Carolina says John Simpson, the founder of Marines and Mickey, pocketed most of the money for personal use. According to feds, Simpson raised about $481,000 from May 2014 to June 2016. Almost half a million dollars. But only $90,000 was used for the intended charitable purposes. Court documents allege Simpson pocketed nearly $391,000 for his own use and enrichment. Simpson falsely claimed he was a retired Marine Master Sergeant and prior drill instructor and reconnaissance Marine. But since Simpson served less than 5 years as a dispersing clerk, received a bad conduct discharge in 1998, and was reduced to the rank of private following a special court for being in a state of unauthorized absence. Oh, my God. He never obtained a rank higher than Lance Corporal. The primary victim of the scam, according to federal indictment, was the mother of one of the... Listen to this shit. The primary victim of the scam, according to the federal indictment, was the mother of one of the Marines killed in a 2015 shooting at the Military Recruiting Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. She gave over $100,000 to the charity through money from her son's death benefit and donated it in her son's honor. You know, there's a special place in hell for people like this. The Independent Mail reported Simpson was sentenced to 9 years in prison in May 2018 for sexually assaulting his former girlfriend. How about that? How about that to brighten your day? Some news about China and their defense development that they're reaching critical mass. Largely in part due to investments in high-end technologies like hypersonics and its development of indigenous capabilities like stealth fighters and aircraft carriers. Put that all together, the Defense Intelligence Agency in their China Military Power Report says the following. The biggest concern is that they are getting to a point where the PLA leadership may actually tell President Xi Jinping that they are confident in their capabilities. We know in the past they have considered themselves a developing weaker power. And where do you think they got all that technology? We gave it to them. They stole it from us, and they continue to steal it from us, and we continue to do nothing. Chinese companies have their eyes on what used to be the U.S. Navy's biggest base in the Pacific. Guess where that is? The Philippines. the firm that runs the ship car, the shipyard, right, is a Korean company, South Korean company. They recently declared bankruptcy, defaulting on $412 million of loans. It also owns $900 million to South Korean creditors. So you put that together, that's $1.3 billion, that's with a B, dollars to creditors. The firm asked the Philippine government to help to find someone to take over the businesses, and Manila wants a new investor to safeguard thousands of jobs. Two Chinese firms, one of which is state-owned, they're all state-owned, come on, have contacted the Philippines about the facility. A Chinese takeover would give a major commercial presence in what was once Naval Base Subic Bay. The United States Navy departed Subic Bay in 1992. So those are the that's what's going on in Marineland. The top five stories. In the early bird, number one, U.S. Navy moves towards unleashing killer robot ships in the world's oceans. That's only a question of time that we'll have cheaper platforms that will launch missiles from, that can launch drones. And, it's coming. War by robot. No kidding. Coming to a theater near you. Number two, new defense intelligence assessment warns China's near critical military milestone. We talked about that. When they can begin to conduct, what, offensive operations around the world? They're sniffing around the world. So that will be certainly more interesting. Here's what you need to know about the biggest update on the UCMJ. We talked about that. Number four, Trump discussed pulling U.S. from NATO aid, say, amid new concerns over Russia. Like, what? So we have new concerns over Russia, so we're going to withdraw from NATO? Well, that makes sense. Not. Like, I don't, honestly, what do you say? Answer is, I don't rightly know. Sometimes, sitting here watching the news someday, absolutely dumbfounded. Veteran groups plead, if you say you support veterans, then you need to support ending the shutdown. And that needs to happen. That needs to happen no matter what it takes. We have Coast Guard members securing the borders, protecting us on a daily basis, but in the background, they're worried about making more mortgage payments and putting food on the table. The American people expect better. Hey, I mean, there should be legislation passed that if the government is shut down, nobody gets paid. President doesn't get paid. Congress doesn't get paid. Nobody gets paid. You see that legislation in states around the country, and to me, it seems absolutely positively appropriate. You know, absolutely positively appropriate. All right, I did a little bit of this yesterday, and I talked to Jeff Zazulowicz, who you'll hear tomorrow here on the show, and he's been on the program before, long-time military writer, and he said, hey, read the other three articles I wrote, and you'll get a real good idea of how terrible the ship was, all right? The USS Fitzgerald was in dry dock in 2016. It comes out of dry dock in early 2017. They have much crew turnover. And you have, and you'll hear reports of people saying they weren't ready to go to sea, but the operational commitments of the 7th Fleet required them to go to sea. Well, how long do you want to get ready there? How many months do you want to get ready? And if that was the only problem, then you could see a case made for it. Talked about one article yesterday. Listen to this. This is the start of the article entitled Warship Doomed by Confusion, Indecision, and Ultimately Panic on the Bridge. The sea air curled black around her as she gripped the Alidade, What is an alidade? Must be some kind of rail on the exterior of the ship. Hold on. A sighting device or pointer for determining directions or measuring angles used in surveying and astronomy. Oh, and there's a picture of it. So she was looking through that. It's kind of a triangular looking thing with a, you know, there's an arc on it. So a curved arc on it. Ah, that thing. Frantic that she'd be tossed overboard. This is the officer of the deck. Quote, oh shit, she said. I'm so fucked. It's interesting that in a moment of crisis, that the first thing you think about is yourself. She didn't know the name of the hulking merchant vessel looming out of the night off the coast of Japan, but it was Philippine-flagged ACX Crystal and was going to spear into the smaller guided missile destroyer, tearing a gash in the hull before continuing into the darkness at 18 knots. Lieutenant J.G. Sarah Kopic and her fellow watchstanders on the bridge also had succumbed to confusion, indecision, and ultimately panic, according to an internal Navy investigation into the Fitzgerald disaster that was obtained by the Navy Times. They don't say how. The author of the investigation is Rear Admiral Brian Fort, a surface warfare officer. He's equivalent to a brigadier general, okay? And 25 years in the Navy. The secret probe was sent up the chain of command 41 days after the collision. So he got there the day after the Fitzgerald got into port. It was designed to be both candidly describe to senior commanders what went wrong while helping federal attorneys defend lawsuits. The Navy has paraded out a series of public reports addressing both the Fitzgerald tragedy and the McCain tragedy. But none of those investigations so starkly blueprinted the cascade of failures at all levels of the Navy that combined to cause the Fitzgerald disaster, especially the way the doomed crew of the destroyer was staffed, trained, and led in the months before the collision. Now, just remember this. There's leaders at every echelon of this whose job it is either to make sure the equipment works, to make the crews sure the crew's ready, or put their hand up, right, and fire the Red Star cluster, and if necessary, the Brown Star cluster. Okay? That's what their job is. That's what special trust and confidence is, owing that the nation has special trust and confidence in XYZ. You are now whatever you are. Fort's team of investigators described a bridge team that was overworked and exhausted. They went to sea that day. The collision happens at 1:30 in the morning. Okay? So, I struggle with that. I think their threshold for what overworked and exhausted is bullshit. A crew plagued by low morale, facing a relentless tempo of operations decreed by admirals far above them, distrustful of their superiors, and fatally distrustful of each other. Publicly released accounts of the Fitz disaster state the warship was performing routine operations at the time of the collision. Fort's report shows how grueling life had become for the crew throughout the seventh base feat. Okay. They were up at 6 a.m. on June 6th, and it involved a full schedule of demanding operation. By the time Kopic and her watchstanders arrived on the bridge, 16 hours later, for their four-hour shift, they were fatigued and without adequate rest. But if we were going drinking that night, everybody would be fired up and ready to go, right? Got up at 6, I went to work, I got off work, I went and I worked out, I grabbed something to eat, we went out drinking, and I was out till 3:30 in the morning. Oh, yeah, but that's different. Give me a break. Although they were moving in one of the world's busiest corridors at night, neither their commanding officer, Commander Benson, nor their executive officer, Commander Babbitt, joined them. To Fort, this was inexplicable. But he soon discovered it was a routine practice aboard the Fitz, even dating back to the command of the previous commanding officer. Listen to this. This is a stunning. Like I said, when you listen to this, it will make you want to vomit. Out of 78 underway days from February to May, and mind you, they say that they weren't trained. They had been underway for 78 days, and you don't know your job? You don't know what to do? I mean, it's stupid. It's stupid. And equipment's broke, but the leaders can't get it fixed? Out of 78 underway days from February to May of that year, the commanding officer was on the bridge just four times between the dark hours of 2200, 10 o'clock at night, and 6 in the morning. So, 78 days, he's on the bridge four times after 10 o'clock at night. The fact that both Benson and Bobbitt were in their quarters when the collision happened is amazing. Benson was injured. Benson had been the XO on the ship prior to, quote-unquote, fleeting up. This was the first time that under his command that the Fitzgerald would transit a major shipping lane at night. And he's not on the bridge. It's a shipping superhighway, and the Fitz was barreling into traffic, the article says. Watchstanders were unaware of the approaching and dynamic change in the surface traffic pattern and sailed headlong into this crossing traffic at 20 knots. 20 knots is fast. I mean, the picture this paints is of ass clowns driving a ship. Despite the standing order to warn him when vessels got too close, no one bothered to wake Benson as the Fitz neared the crystal. Kopic, the officer of the deck, wasn't communicating with the CIC, a lieutenant by the name of Natalie Combs, who's being court-martialed. They're supposed to be in constant contact. But Kopic wouldn't talk with the CIC because they had given her bad information in the past. Testifying under oath at a hearing last year to determine if Combs should stand court-martial, Fort said it was unfathomable that the bridge didn't talk to the CIC on the night of the disaster. Now this is like bizarro world. And then it goes into a command climate survey, you know, blah, 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 blah. And here's what's amazing. Listen to this. So the Fitzgerald happens, then the McCain happens. And after that, there is a consolidated disposition authority appointed so that the adjudication of both events mirrors each other. Okay? So it's overseen by one person. Early last year, Admiral James Caldwell ruled that Baldwin and Babbitt were derelict in their duties. Baldwin is the command master chief. In everything you read, they said he's an idiot. Babbitt is the XO, were derelict in their duties and issued them a punitive letter of reprimand. 7 people killed, and you get a punitive letter of reprimand. Honestly, it's amazing. It is an absolute amazing to read how soft the Navy is. Your negligence leads to people killed, and you get a punitive letter of reprimand. It's amazing. Fort's report, I can do this, faults the Fitz's command, failing to act on the volume of comments compiled in the 2017 Command Climate Survey. They just kind of sloughed them off. Yeah, there were those in there, but I talked to some of the junior officers, and they didn't think they broke squelch. So, listen to this. This is the former commander before he turned it over to Benson. After consulting with his junior leaders, she determined that we didn't need to conduct any focus groups on a survey that we had just completed. So, there you go. That's one article. The Ghost of the Fitz's Machine, Why a Doomed Warship and Crew Never Saw the Vessel That Hit It. So, Fort got on the Fitzgerald, I want to say less than a week after it happened. All right? The article says, any warship would seem a little off after a catastrophe that claimed the lives of 7 sailors, but this was different. It didn't look right, it didn't smell right, it didn't sound right, Fort said during a hearing. After gazing at the gash in the hull, through which gushed seawater like seawater that drowned the Fitz's dead, Fort and his team of investigators walked to the destroyer's electronic nerve center, the Combat Information Center. It hadn't taken a direct hit from the bow of the ACX crystal, but it was trashed nonetheless and smelled like urine. He found pee bottles that had tipped and spilled behind a large screen display. Fort's eyes started to take over for his nose, and he took it all in. There were debris everywhere, Fort said under oath. Food debris, food waste, uneaten food, half-eaten food, personal gear in the form of books, workout gear, workout bands, kettlebells, weightlifting equipment. The status boards had graffiti on them. In the Combat Operations Center, I'd never seen a CIC like that in my entire time in the Navy, the surface warfare officer of more than 25 years recollected. The more he looked, the worse it got. Broken sensors that were reported for repairs, never fixed. Scheduled changes ordered by superiors high above the Fitz, blah, blah, blah. 6 weeks after the Fitzgerald's collision, Fort signed and submitted the report. Navy then deep-sixed it, for obvious reason, right? The crew learned how to make do with broken equipment. Like, everybody does that, okay? Everybody does that. Fort, in his report, described a lack of basic seamanship training, fatally combined with material deficiencies to create a culture of complacency, of accepting problems, and a dismissal of the use of some of the most important modern equipment used for safe navigation. It was broken, they accepted it. Sailors in the CIC told Fort that it was a quiet night as they went to move through a major shipping lane. Fort found that there was zero communication between the bridge and the CIC. And it doesn't merely say that, yeah, the equipment didn't work. He says they didn't even know how to use the equipment. Different radars were reported. One of their primary systems was reported as being broken or degraded 194 days before the collision. It wasn't fixed. Whose fault is that? Who's the maintenance officer? Who resolves this stuff? It's just stupid. And then he talks about different systems. Another one down for 135 days. So, I mean, we'll take a break, but I'll come back to this later. But the links are going to be in this first hour's podcast. So if you go to the website and you look at the and you click on the podcast itself, not just listen to it, but if you click on the podcast itself, you'll see the links to the four articles. I'd suggest you read them. Get to know your United States Navy a little bit. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to get a chance to meet Katie. She's a spouse at Camp Lejeune, and she was at the post-traumatic winning thing, so we're going to have a conversation about that. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. Should be interesting. Normally is. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.